Now, friends, we come once again to the Word of God, to this series of studies in Romans chapter 8. And we come now tonight to verses 26 and 27 of Romans chapter 8. You'll notice that this is about prayer, and the prayer with the help of the Holy Spirit. But my friends, let me remind you that a person cannot seek the Lord unless the Holy Spirit has worked in his heart. And let me remind you that a person cannot be a Christian if he has not got the Spirit of the living God. And that is what the Scripture has taught us already. And so you have to ask yourself, am I a Christian? And has the Spirit of God worked in me? Have I come to understand, and not only mentally understand, but receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my own Savior and Lord? Am I worshipping God? Is prayer something that I desire after? Because prayer is a means of knowing my Savior, knowing my God. That is something that we ought to remember. But here in verse 26, he begins with these words, or this word, likewise. Paul is drawing a comparison of some kind. And the comparison is the reference that he has already made of the Holy Spirit, to the Holy Spirit, back in verses 16 and 17, where we read, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. So the Holy Spirit bears with the Spirit of the child of God, with the Christian, enabling us to cry what? Abba, Father, from the heart. It's not just done by rote. It's not done simply because we have been taught to memorize our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It's not like that. But it's from the depth of our soul, we cry to God and see him as our Father in heaven. And now in verses 26 and 27, the Apostle Paul is going to address a second thing that the Holy Spirit does. Not only witness with our spirit, not only saves the soul, not only makes us to cry to God with that Spirit wrote witness in our hearts, Abba, Father, but he also helps our infirmities. And so he not only bears witness with our spirit, he helps our infirmities. He helps our weaknesses. Now, this passage is obviously about prayer. The Spirit helping us in prayer. Do you need help in your prayer life? No man, one has put it like this, no man is greater than his prayer life. I'm not talking about here. I'm talking about in the closet. We are as great as we are in our personal, in our closet prayer, in our secret prayer. We sing, don't we? Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? You should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. But do you do that? Do I do that? When I'm discouraged, oftentimes, what do? We talk about it. Not to the Lord, but to one another. We talk to ourselves about it. We go over the same matter. How many times you have gone through the night, you've woken up, and things have gone through your mind, and yet you haven't brought it to the Lord. You've just gone over the same things again and again and again. We all suffer with this malady. We all have this weakness. Friends, we love the means of grace. God's people, they love the means of grace. And we as the children of God know from our experience that what a blessing, what a privilege it is to be his children and to come before the Heavenly Father in prayer. We talk about the sweet hour of prayer. Oftentimes that hymn should be changed to sweet minutes, 1 minute, 2 minutes of prayer. Sleepy time of prayer. in seasons of distress and in grief, my soul has often found relief, the hymn says, and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. See, these hymns of praise to God were written not at the time that a person was low spiritually, but in times of revival and God's outpouring of blessing and outpouring of the Spirit. But that's all very well to talk about these things, because the truth of the matter is that for many of us, indeed, at certain times for all of us, prayer is a difficult thing. It's the hardest thing that you can do. You can read your Bible. You can get into a habit of doing that, if that is commendable. You can do many things by rote. But prayer is very personal. It is very private. It's the most spiritual thing you can do. It's part of the worship of God. But it is very private. It's between you and the Lord. The only mediator you have is our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not through any man except the God-man Jesus Christ. You come to the Father by Him, the Scripture says. And so it is most private, most personal. In a gathering like this, of course, it's a public prayer meeting, so whoever leads, they are leading the whole congregation before God. But in your private prayer, it is just you and the Lord. You are not thinking about how you are going to say the words. At times we get into a spirit of fear. What would other people think of me? What would other people think of the words that I say? But when you are alone with the Lord, all of those barriers come down. But it is the hardest thing. It's the most difficult thing. And there are times when the Apostle Paul refers to this, how he found it so difficult. And the difficulty is that, one of the points of difficulty is that we do not know what to pray for as we ought. That's what the point of this text is. That's the difficulty. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes along and helps us. So this evening I want to just speak on the point of the difficulty in prayer. That's all I want to approach tonight. It says in verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, our difficulty, our problem, our weakness. For we know not, this is the reason, this is the difficulty, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So this is the thing, the difficulty in prayer. Yes, prayer is a privilege. Yes, prayer is a blessing. But prayer is also a problem. And there are difficulties. Difficulties for a whole variety of reasons. Sometimes because of course, physical infirmity. You remember the disciples. Our Lord Jesus Christ is in the Garden of Gethsemane. He asked his disciples to pray with him. Just for an hour. And they, what happened to them? What happens to some of us sometimes, in a prayer meeting like this, you shut your eyes and you go to sleep for a season. They were overtaken by some bodily infirmity. And Paul is thinking of this. He's thinking of a particular burden, a particular struggle of not knowing what to pray for as we ought, of not being sure, of not being certain how to pray, and how to pray in terms of the will of God. You know your will, you know what you want, but the difficulty is, what is the Lord's will? So that's all very well, but again, most of us will confess that sometimes prayer is a struggle for a variety of reasons. Sometimes it's a struggle because of our physical weakness. And so we have already thought of that, of the disciples in Gethsemane. You may be exhausted here tonight. You have been at work, you have Some of you have been out and about doing various things, running errands of all kinds. You've been talking to all kinds of people, and talking is a tiresome thing. But here it's not physical exhaustion that is spoken of. The whole idea of not being certain, of not knowing the will of God, is the thing. We don't know how we ought to pray. We don't know what to pray for, and we don't know how to pray it. We know that we ought to pray, but we don't know what to say. Are you in a situation like that? Have you been in that situation? You just don't know what to say. And that's the particular burden here. The struggle that the Apostle Paul is addressing here. We don't know what to say in prayer. We don't know whether we should pray for this or whether we should pray for that, because we are uncertain as to what the mind of and the will of God is. And knowing the will of God is one thing, my friends, but submitting to the will of God is something altogether different. We know in many things what we ought to be doing. In many things, you come to the scriptures and you see many things black and white. Of course, there are many other things that are more difficult than that. But there are many things that we see black and white. But what do we do with that? You read James, for that matter. You read the book of James. If you want to see black and white, you see it there. So you know what you should do with your tongue. But do we follow it? Do we obey it? Do we submit to it? And the same goes with the will of God concerned when we pray. There are people who abandon Christianity. They leave the church. They leave everything spiritual and things that they have been taught as a child. Why? When you ask them, why did you leave these things? They say, well, because I prayed for my sister who was ill. And then she died. I prayed for my grandmother and she died. So what's the use in prayer? What's the use? God doesn't hear. Maybe God is not there. God is not real, they would say. And so they would dismiss the whole of Christianity and the Bible all because of this. Because they prayed and God didn't answer their prayers the way they wanted. So the issue is this. It's that they are not happy with the will of God. They are not happy to submit to the will of God, that it was not God's will for this girl to live, or for that grandmother to live. And so in failing to submit to that, people abandon the faith. And that may have maybe a dramatic way of saying this, but maybe there are some people here this evening, right now, and you are not happy. You're angry maybe at something. You're maybe resentful at something. Because God hasn't answered your prayer in the specific way that you thought God should have answered that prayer. Maybe that's your problem as well. You're just not happy because you prayed about this matter and it's just not happened. And for you to submit to that, that's too much. All of us, to some degree, have a struggle, have a hard time and a hard work with prayer because we are not sure what the will of God is. That's Job's concern, isn't it? He didn't know what the will of God was at certain times. He said he would go this way, God is not there. He will go that way, God is not there. He will go back and he's looking and he cannot find God at different times in his life. He didn't know what the will of God was. He said at one point that if I knew where I could find you, if I knew your will, then I would bring those things as arguments before you. Job was a man who was blameless, a man who was upright, a man who skewed evil, the scripture says, shunned evil, a man who feared God. And yet these calamities, these distresses come upon him, and he's out of sorts because he hasn't submitted himself to the will of God. Of course, he will. And the whole book of Job is ultimately about that, submission to the will of God, even though he doesn't know what the will of God is. He doesn't see the overall plan, and you and I, we do not see the overall plan. We don't see the big picture. Job didn't see the overall purpose until the end. He must live in the dark. And oftentimes, you and I, we must live in the dark. Are you willing to submit to the will of God in that? He must walk by faith. Are you willing to walk by faith? Or are you wanting always things that you see? Living and walking by sight. You find someone else struggling. Elijah struggled. James talks about it. Struggling with the will of God. Struggling with not knowing the will of God. What is it? Is running away, you remember? From the threats of Queen Jezebel. He's under a juniper tree and he prays that prayer that God would take away his life. Why am I alive? What's the purpose of my life? Have you thought about that? You don't have to be an old person to think, well, what's the purpose of my life? I'm bound up at home, I'm riddled with pain, I have this problem, that problem, I'm no good to anybody. That's what the devil whispers in your ear. It's not the Lord. But then there are young people who feel the same as well. What's the purpose of my life? I'm not good to anybody and such things. And that was Elijah too. He's caught in a distress. He's caught in a tension. He's caught in this difficulty because he doesn't see the big picture. He doesn't see God's overall plan and purpose. And so he doesn't know what to pray. He thinks that he sees it, but he doesn't. And it's interesting that even for the Apostle Paul, who writes these words, he had the same kind of a struggle too. You remember that biographical sketch and comment that he makes about the thorn in his flesh. He says he prayed thrice, that means three times, about this matter. God didn't answer, or God didn't take away the thorn. The Lord did answer, certainly. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Three times the Apostle Paul prays that God would remove that thorn in the flesh. It doesn't matter anymore what the nature of that thorn in the flesh was, but whatever it was, he didn't want it. Paul didn't want it. Whatever it was, he wished that it would go away, that God would take it away. He prayed specifically to that end. And three times he prayed that God would remove that. But it wasn't the will of God. And so he's working hard at this. He's finding it difficult. He's struggling with the will of God and submitting to the will of God. And God says, this is my will. My grace is sufficient for thee. It is my will for you to have the thorn in the flesh. I don't want you to become a proud man, Paul. And so he doesn't know how to pray as he ought. Let me put it like this too. Even our Lord Jesus Christ, in his incarnate life, in his human nature, in the Garden of Gethsemane, uttered these words that are incredible. And then there are these people who come, the Unitarians, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Muslims, and so on. They use texts like this to attack the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they forget the fact of the two natures of Christ. When our Lord Jesus Christ says in Matthew 26 and verse 39, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. We could spend a whole long time just expounding all the intricate issues involved in that statement of our Lord regarding to his human mind, in his human nature, and the omniscience that was his divine mind. But he's praying a prayer with his human mind. It's the incarnate Savior. You see, Christ as God has this commune with God all the time. But as man, in his humanity, he needs to spend time in prayer. It's the incarnate Savior. And he's saying, I wish this would go away. I want the situation to pass. Nevertheless, he says, that's the key. Nevertheless, I want to submit to thy will, my Father. Whatever that will may be, that submission. Well, here is the Apostle Paul in Romans 8, and he's talking here about a real issue, that the hard work and the struggle of prayer. We know not what to pray for as we ought. It's a humble thing to say. I don't know. There are many times I don't know how I should pray. I need the Lord's help in this. Maybe that's you now. Maybe there is an event in your life, a circumstance in your life, in your children's life, in your teenager's life, in your marriage, in your vocation. Maybe it's in regards to praying for someone who is sick, for a sickness in your life. I often think of that. You may think of that too. We all experience something like that. On Wednesday nights we come and we might mention various people who are not well, various situations that are very heartbreaking, brothers and sisters, people elsewhere, family members, and we invariably pray for them that they would be healed. We want them to be healed. That's our will. We want that illness to go away, that they would recover, that they would be back again worshipping with us in our midst. We love them. And in some cases, they are our relatives, husbands, wives, children, parents. We want them back amongst us. And deep down, of course, we know that that may not be God's will. And so, oftentimes, if not always, we say, if it is thy will. But in our heart of hearts, we don't want it to be the will of God. If you're honest about it, we want that person, our loved one, to not suffer that pain. We want that child to make progress, and that difficulty, that situation that has gone all pear-shaped for them, to be resolved, for them to succeed. But then we don't know how to pray. And so we might be in that position right now. We may come, and we do come, and we put on our best face, as it were, in the gathered assembly like this. We put on a mask, as it were. Not the mask that you are wearing tonight, but when we come to pray, you see, that mask is removed. We cannot say that all is easy for us. Deep down you are in a strait betwixt two, as the Apostle Paul would say. You do not know what to pray for. You find yourself in difficulty. You don't know what's the best thing for you and for your family, your children, your parents, your health, about your vocation, about troubles, about distresses of one kind or another. And so there is this struggle in prayer. We sometimes find ourselves in such a strait, and that is what Paul is referring to here, and we can't even put it into words. We can't even vocalize it. We start a sentence and we don't know how to finish it. We don't even express what our wishes are. We don't know. We are uncertain. We are in a strait betwixt two things, and perhaps as you come to God in prayer, your prayer is confused. It's jumbled at times. You are saying one thing and then another, or perhaps you're not saying anything at all. It's a struggle, it's a groan, it's a sigh. The struggle of prayer, the difficulty of prayer. And I'm convinced in a congregation like this, there are people who are at the moment struggling through various prayers, various things that are going through your mind. What is the will of God? And you know what the Apostle Paul is exactly talking about. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Now let me just touch something that I want to expand on next week, God willing, is the prayer assistant. The one who comes to assist us in our prayers. And that's the Spirit of God. And that's what the Apostle puts first. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. What are these infirmities? Well, we don't know how to pray. How to pray in the will of God. But the Spirit of God prays, as it says at the end of verse 27, according to the will of God. Because He is God. But he's speaking now about something much more important than the difficulty in prayer. We are familiar with the struggle of prayer. He's talking about the prayer assistant. The Spirit, he tells us, helpeth us, helps us. Now he uses a word here in the Greek which is very, very long word. He has mixed words together. He has put prefixes, a couple of prefixes in front of a word which simply means to help. But he adds these extra things to it, which has the word meaning with, and he helps us by praying with us. That's the idea. So the Spirit of God is praying with us. He's working with us in this. It's a spiritual task, you see. It's a spiritual struggle and wrestling with the Lord. He helps us by being with us. So when you are really praying, the Spirit of God is with you. You're not alone praying. That's what the apostle is saying here. But then he adds another prefix to this in the Greek words by saying that he prays for us. Not just with us, but for us as well. He's active in this. So, friends, when you come to pray privately, publicly, you are not alone. You may be confused tonight. You might say to yourself, I don't really know this difficulty that has happened. My son, my daughter, this thing has happened. His or her career, his or her studies has been affected by something. And then you say to yourself, I want that to be resolved. I want that my son, my daughter, to succeed in life. Their job has been terminated. This relationship has ended. I want that person to be happy. And yet you think to yourself, but they are unconverted. And another thought is, maybe this is the right thing. Maybe this is a good thing. And you think to yourself, should I be praying that they would lose their job? Should I be praying that this thing that they are running after would come to nothing and they would hit a dead end? Should I pray for that? Should I pray that their illness will continue until they find the Lord? Should I pray for that? So you're wrestling with this. And you don't know what to pray, and at times you pray for this thing, and then another time you pray for that thing, and you don't know the will of God, but there is the Spirit of God who is with you, who then takes up your prayers, and he then, as one writer puts it, he fixes it as it is ascending up to the Lord. And so the Apostle Paul is saying something like that. He's saying he helps our infirmities. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He says that the Holy Spirit is praying with us, for us. and He helps us as we pray. Now, can I use the illustration as we finish now? Some of you might have had to lift a great piano. I've had to do that. Have you ever lifted an old piano? It is very heavy. And then you have certain people from church come, or different people, neighbors will come to help you out with it. Or some other very heavy object that is very difficult to lift. So there are four or five people lifting this for you, trying to maneuver it around the corners in your house, and you're trying to help as well. You've got maybe one arm out, trying to lift this thing up. Now, is it you who is lifting this? Is it you who is working on this? Or is it them? You are doing something, but they are doing nearly everything. And it is, in one sense, this is it. We are praying, but the Spirit of God helps our infirmities. We are praying in all mixed up state of mind. Our infirmity oftentimes is that we know not what to pray for, how to pray. We don't know not the will of God in this thing. We do not know the secret will of God in this matter. But the Spirit of God, who is the Lord, knows. And so He helps us. Well, we'll take up this theme, God willing, next week. I hope you are encouraged, my friends. I hope you are encouraged to think that you are not alone. The Lord knows about it. You might be confused, and oftentimes we are. You might be discouraged and you don't know, should I pray for this person to end their job, end this relationship, for this illness to be prolonged or not? The very opposite of it. I know what is my will, but I don't know what is the will of God. Well, the Spirit of God helpeth our infirmities in this.